Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain a leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
I'm not gonna pull your flowers up. I'm not gonna stop your group. God bless you. And so some of them have continued on, and one or two of them have kind of converted over, but they're willing conversions to a life group model. Yeah.
And we had people who, you know, they come up in a strong Calvary Chapel tradition or something like that, and they just want to do a Bible study.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fine. But we, in our minds, we saw what went on Sundays as a convention. Mm-hmm. And what went on in what we called the mini church. I mean, you know, back in the day, mini car, mini skirt, mini church. But what we did was we had killed a prayer meeting in order to free up a night. So we had a Wednesday night prayer meeting. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people already, even in a kind of hippie-fied atmosphere, a prayer meeting is real sacred. And we're going to pray in the mini church, but we had to use the word church, we felt, because everybody thought of church as Sunday and then a Bible study.
Yeah.
And so, yep. So this is church. And then we kind of came to realize this is the heart of our church. This is where the people who really, you know, I mean, there are people who have jobs that take them away all week. And
yeah.
We had one guy who would fly in from France every Saturday night, and he would fly back on Monday. And it was,
wow.
he actually was working for the CIA. It was back in the Vietnam War days, and strange things going on. But for the most part, it's the people who are going to show up in these small groups that are the backbone of the church. And so we begin to just talk about, this is like a convention on the weekend where you all come together, but the pastoring actually happens in that group. And the ministry one to another, that the one another's that we see in the Bible,
yeah,
do not happen in a crowd of a couple thousand people. They happen in a living room or a coffee shop or someplace. And so then we were able then to kind of conceptualize, even if you're doing a verse by verse Bible study and you know you're going to take 3 years to get through Jeremiah, then we're still going to call that church. But then we kind of reserve that title, mini church, for the ones that are kind of doing the deal off the sermon and the three simple questions. And so we had a little board that we would, you know, at one point we had 105 mini churches that we called mini church on that board. Mm-hmm. So there's a little map that, you know, people could find one in their area.
Yeah.
In Oahu, in Hawaii.
Was it in your church lobby you'd have it displayed?
Yeah, we had it. It actually had several of them around different locations. And we had built, when we first started doing this, we were in a public school. So it was on a rolling board that we rolled in every week.
Yeah.
And then when we finally got property, we had a big courtyard. We had out there, and then we had it in the back of the auditorium. And so there's a little map and a picture of the people. So you could kind of, you didn't have to say this is for old people, young people, whatever, mixed people. You could look and go, oh, I identify with those folks. And but if you were doing a Bible study, then you could have another place to promote your Bible study, but not on the mini church board, because we wanted the mini, what we called mini church, to really be seen as this is the body, just separated in different homes, and the rest of what we're doing is wonderful, just ancillary. And so there's different strokes for different folks. You know, one of my friends, actually a Hope Chapel pastor, was in a band called Sly and the Family Stone back in the in the 70s, and they did a song called Different Strokes for Different Folks, and we kind of adopted that. So it's done us well. So how did you get involved with Exponential? Because I met you in a learning course, and so that means you have had your feet in it pretty deep.
Yeah, I had heard of Exponential for years, never been to the conference. I was approached by, so in the Global Methodist Church, we're organized in regions called annual conferences. And so I'm in the Allegheny West annual conference, which is all of Ohio and Western Pennsylvania. And we are really trying to take seriously the multiplication of disciples and church planting. And in a lot of ways, we've lost the art of that, the capacity, the gifts and grace. I think they're there somewhere, but we really lost a lot of that over the last several decades and century. So we're really trying to take that seriously again, and that become like really part of our DNA. And so really front and central disciple making and church planting. And so part of that is just a practical outworking of that is, I don't know if we have a formal partnership with Exponential, but we are sending Global Methodist church pastors and lay people, lay leaders to Exponential. And like our conference has set aside monies for church planning and for us to be sent to the Multipliers Learner cohort with Exponential, mm-hmm. which is when that's where we met. And so I was asked if I'd be interested in going to it. And so, you know, a lot of the cost was paid for by my annual conference. And so I went, and that, I think that was the third cohort. I think that was the last cohort of the MLC cohort, the Multipliers Learners cohort. And that's where we met in Colorado. Yeah. And so that was my introduction to Exponential, was that almost a year long cohort for the multiplication, you know. So
you went to the learning cohort before or without attending a conference?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's good news. I've never heard that before. I love, 'cause to me, you know, I'm right now as we're recording this, I'm going mm-hmm. to dinner with Dave Ferguson and a bunch of guys tonight, and the thing starts on Monday for us, Monday afternoon, the pre-con. And so the big deal is here in Orlando every year.
Oh yeah.
But to me, the solid gold is what goes on in the learning cohorts. Mm-hmm. Because here we're trying to convince people that they need to make disciples who make disciples. The people in the learning cohort are already convinced of that. And it's just a whole different character. And then the fact that you're together for a year, you know, in the three different sessions I believe in building relationships with people, not just being a talking head, mm-hmm. giving them stuff. And to me, that's the cream of, you know, the cream rises to the top, all that, but the cream is really in who shows up in the learning cohort. The people who are there are the people who I always go, this is the fruit of the ministry.
Yeah. It was really a positive experience. There was two different cohorts, and I said, hey, why don't you go to the second one? You don't need to be necessarily convinced of the need for multiplication. So just, we'll put you in the second cohort here. And a really positive experience. Made some good relationships with a couple of pastors that we ended up in like this, a sub cohort together. And RC's in Indiana. I'm in right above Cincinnati, Ohio. And then Jim is just right on the other side of Kentucky in the GMC. So those really great connections and relationships. And we're actually doing a couple things together right now, the three of us.
And, I love that. Yeah. Oh, that you have made my day. I don't know. I've always got something wrong, something I wish that we did better than.
Yeah. You
know, my wife is so frustrated that just having to live with me. But I think if I could make the learning cohorts better, I would, because we do it in 25s, groups of 25, right? And so mm-hmm. you three groups at a time for a day and a half, and then you do it three times a year. I'm saying that for people who are listening to this. But if I were able to reconstruct it, I would have you together for 9 months to a year in a group of five. Mm-hmm. So that you came to the cohort as a cohort and five groups of five. And then in the three meetings together, you'd just be with the same people. And I'd have you sign an MOU that you're going to meet together for at least a year, once a month on a Zoom call. Mm-hmm. Because I think that, but you guys are doing it already. And that's what's blessing me, is to see that there's ongoing relationships. And I know that there are. I just think we could organize it around that a little bit more strongly. Well, this is wonderful. It's exciting.
Yeah. No, I think for us, like one thing, you know, we're still trying to figure it out, you know.
You always will be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so RC and Jim and I are working on something we're just trying to find a way if we can help equip lay people. Yeah. And so we're working on that. And I know Jim and I have just began a conversation about church planning for Cincinnati, and that'll involve more than just us. And we have a couple conversations going back and forth between Kentucky and here. It's just starting. And I'm excited about that, and part of it is just the prayer is really if we could even start one like discipleship group in Cincinnati. And I don't think I have the relationships for it, at least I don't think I do, but my part of my prayer is with those conversations across the state line here is, you know, maybe there's relationships we don't know we have or that we might be able to develop or discover that could start somewhere with the idea of for Cincinnati. And there are a lot of great churches in Cincinnati, you know, proper there are, but there's not a global Methodist church in Cincinnati. So
and there are a lot of lost people in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. There'll never be enough churches to touch everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's right. We need more churches. Right?
Yeah.
We don't.
So I have a book to recommend to you by an author I know very well. What happened was when I was approached by, it became Baker Books, but it was Regal Books in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to write what became the third book of a trilogy. And I thought this was at the height of the Seeker movement. It actually, the Seeker movement was still in ascendancy. And mm-hmm. we were always in our circles. We were always the odd man out because we're trying to give people away. They're trying to build big churches. And they all asked me to come and talk, and I'm at cross purposes with everybody there. That was my life.
Yeah.
So they wanted me to write a book about how to multiply a church. And I thought nobody wants to buy that book. So I wrote a book called Starting a New Church. And people always know it as the Volkswagen book. It's when they came out with the new VW. And it's got a cover with a bunch of kids hanging all out of a Volkswagen, because there's a picture in another book I wrote where our whole church fit in a Volkswagen convertible. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of built off of that. So I wrote that book first because I thought I'll get a hold of some young guys coming out of seminary. And it was actually used, I think Asbury used it for a while as a textbook. Mm-hmm. So then I wrote Making Disciples because I figured if I got your attention and you started a church, now I can help you go forward a little step further in making disciples and finding those lay people, teaching lay people in their own context how to do ministry and harvest from there. And then the third book is called How to Multiply Your Church. And it's got a really ugly cover on it. right now, it's a bunch of little cookie cutter church buildings that look like a New England church. And I was with a Zondervan exec. I was in Nepal teaching, and as soon as he saw the cover of that book, he goes, "That book will never sell." And I knew why. But I go, "Well, why?" And he goes, "The cover." And so I just have now purchased it back from Baker Books, and as soon as Making Disciples they're done doing whatever they're going to do with it. And I'm going to republish this thing, but it's on Amazon right now still. So it's a book that might interest you.
Absolutely.
It's actually the best book I ever wrote, and they never were able to sell even 2,000 of them. And it's been out for 20 years, I'm pretty sure, a long time.
So how to multiply your church is, in your perspective, is the best book you've written?
Yes. Yes.
What about it makes it the
Everything
best?
Everything I know is in that book.
It
actually kind of encapsulates the other two, and it's got theology for it. It's not just, you know, I tried to never write little how-to churchy books, leadership books. We wouldn't even read them as a staff. We would read leadership books, and we'd read the Bible. And, you know, I always tell people, if you didn't read three books on the life of Winston Churchill, you're not even really a leader. And
great.
And so you know, we'd have all of our mini church pastors, I'd start with the staff, and we'd read the same book like you did in concert, and then we'd have the mini church pastors reading the same books in concert. They'd meet every other week, and a staff pastor would oversee, you know, a group of, it's kind of a little learning cohort that so they were always with the same people. And they'd share what's working and what's not working, best practices. But we'd ask the first two questions. What did the Spirit say? And what are you going to do because of what he said after you just read this book on the life of George Patton?
Yeah.
You know, or we're going through Genesis, or we're going through Romans, or we're going through 1st and 2nd Timothy. So we try to take examples, and I mean, obviously there were Christian leaders, but we mostly stuck with leadership, not how to do leadership books, but mostly biographies and that sort of thing, and then the Bible. And you just kind of, one of my friends, in fact, I'm going to see him every time I come to Orlando. We go to dinner. So this Thursday night, one of my friends graduated from Fuller, and he just wasn't cut out for pastoral ministry, and he tried, and he ended up with us in Hawaii for a long time. His name is Dennis Furuyama, Japanese American, and he always kids me about, you made me read more books while I was at Hope Chapel in Kaneohe than I ever read at Fuller. And another guy we all meet together every year, he was actually one of the commandants on the Marine base in Kaneohe. We knew him as a young major, and then comes back as a bird colonel. But he was also a mini church pastor. And so these guys have influenced churches here. Neither one of them are lead pastors or anything, but they've had an influence. And to me, that's really what it's all about. When we can mobilize the laity, the so-called laity, to do the ministry, then we're actually plowing ground that needs to be plowed.
Where did you get the idea to just like leadership books? Where did that come from?
I'm a kind of a real cynical person. I soft spoken.
My kind of guy. I like it.
I come across like nice, but the truth is, I was just in a big church in Southern California. We're now in a church plant. We're attending a church plant, but it's going to be multiple elders. There is obviously one guy who is he just, everybody knows he's the pastor. He'll tell you, no, we're a multiple eldership thing, but he's the leader. And, and so, you know, they're coming to me, will you teach sometimes? And I'll do that. But we're thrilled to be there.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.